Our scripture this morning comes from the second letter of Corinthians. Last week we were in the first letter of Paul's to the Corinthians. We'll be reading from chapter 5, verses 16 through 21. And I invite you to listen for words of hope that you receive, words of guidance for our congregation, perhaps even words for our nation and our world. Paul writes to the Corinthians, "From now on, therefore, we regard no one from a human point of view, even though we once knew Christ from a human point of view. We know him no longer in that way. So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting the message of reconciliation to us. So we are ambassadors for Christ. Since God is making his appeal through us, we entreat you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin that knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." May God bless our hearing and receiving of these good words. Now, did any words from this scripture stand out for you, Sharon? Be reconciled to God. That's right at the heart. Be reconciled to God. And now may the words of my mouth, the meditations of all of our hearts, be acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. It was a difficult letter to write. He had promised to be there by the holidays, but here Paul sat at a lonely desk in a faraway city. He felt like his family was torn apart. A church family ought to be like family, spend time together, go on trips to the Mesa or Montrose, share special occasions, know each other's interests and needs, and above all, care for each other, pray for each other. Of course, Paul had felt his Corinthian church family breaking apart before his last visit. He had written to them about the many factions within the church, how they needed to stop dividing themselves by gender, wealth, or prestige, how they needed to put their focus on the glue that held them all together as family, as the body of Christ. That glue is Jesus. Loving and serving Jesus must be their first priority. That is where their future lies. That is where they can find true hope, even in a tumultuous world. There were so many pressures on the family. Economy, politics, jobs were scarce. Christians were tolerated at best and often discriminated against, sometimes bullied and even persecuted. For a church family without blood relations, the challenge was even greater. "Do I need letters of recommendation?" Paul asked. Were people looking for their hope in humans, in Paul or Apollos? Were they basing their hopes on the God of this age, as Paul describes the worldly point of view, so they could not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. In Paul's eyes, his Corinthian church family seemed to be melting. Where would they find their hope? How could Paul steer them toward hope with a simple letter? Especially when some were turning against their leaders, even against him. What could he write to them? Their only hope was in Christ. He had to get that across. Their hope was in the long-awaited Messiah, Jesus, God in the fleshy shape of a baby, a human baby. Jesus had come to complete what God began so long ago in the miracle of creation. God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God then blessed them and put them to work. He said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Be caretakers, good stewards of all creation." And God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. Then God rested. God created Sabbath on the seventh day to let all of creation rest and just be in right relationship with God, to just breathe in and out, all of creation. Sabbath was not another set of rules to restrict life. That's what the foreign rulers and empires tried to do, and it never worked for the common man, the common person, or the common good. Sabbath was about relationship. Relationship with God and with each other. It was about trust and hope in God. God created everything. Can't we just trust in God to take care of the details? He created the essentials, light, water, day and night, the oceans and mountains, the plants and animals, and then humans. That was one of those important details. God created humans to join him in creating, in caring for creation as God's stewards on earth. God created humans to be family with himself and with each other. Love God. Love your neighbor. But you have to start with trust. You have to trust God and trust each other. That is where hope is born, in trust. But to trust, we have to spend time together. You have to build that trust like building a foundation for a house, one brick at a time. And that takes time, time spent together. So God set aside one day a week, not for more rules or church work, not for doing, but for relationship building, being in relationship. Work hard, labor, create things, feel good about the work of your hands and your mind, but after 6 days of laboring, take one day, Sabbath, to just spend time as family. No matter what size or shape your family is, keep God as head of that family. Trust God with the worldly concerns. Spend personal time with God, prayer, devotional reading. But remember, God's favorite time together is when family gathers together, two or more, as Jesus said. He promises to be there always. Break bread together, worship together, pray together, be together, share stories, sing songs, read the Bible, and remember what God has done in the past so you can remember where to put your hope for the future. Remember that God created everything, and then God rested. He invites you to find time for rest and relaxing, for relationship building, for refocusing your life, your hopes and dreams, setting your priorities for the rest of your week, for the rest of your life. God is concerned that you will get so wrapped up in doing, in creating, especially in accumulating, that you will forget what is really important: relationships, community, church, family. That's why God came in Jesus to recreate, to bring creation back into relationship with God and with each other. Jesus came to complete God's very good work of creation. God was born in the infant-sized, fleshy body of a human who would grow up, who would reinstitute the order of love by which God created all things. God came in Jesus to show us once again the image of God that is placed in each one of us, each one of us. And to show us once again where our true hope lies: in Christ Jesus. How many are looking for reasons to hope nowadays? And are any of them, how many find this to be a struggle at times? Yeah. Like Paul, I encourage you to look for hope. Look for hope for the whole world in Jesus. Not the God of this age, as he said, the worldly point of view. Paul wrote in his letter to his Corinthian family, "So from now on, we don't look at anyone the way the world does. At one time, we looked at Christ that way, but we don't anymore. Anyone who believes in Christ is a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come." You see, through Jesus, we are a new creation. We have a new creation. We are not separate from the old one, but a fulfillment of God's original good creation. Paul tells us that it was actually Christ's death on the cross that brought us back into right relationship with God. In Christ, God was and still is working to reconcile all creation. In Christ, God is forgiving our sin. In Christ, God is giving us this message of hope for our nation and for all the world. In Christ, God is inviting everyone, begging everyone to come back to God. In Christ, God's creation is once again functional and very good and groaning, as Paul says, toward its final completion as we humans return to our image of God role as stewards, caretakers, co-creators with God, and practitioners of Sabbath, of being in relationship. In Christ, God's creation is completed. Now, we often think of Sabbath as the day of rest after God created, but the Jewish rabbis, our ancestors in the faith, found the importance of Sabbath as actually providing and practicing the completeness of God's creation. It was in practicing the love and hope of Sabbath that our labors found their meaning, their completeness. When we rest from our worldly labors and find our hope that in Christ God will provide enough for all, we practice that completion of all God's creation, God's final created order. In fact, the hope of Sabbath, in that rhythm of labor and creation and the rest and renewal and celebration and in relationship building, we actually practice the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. Our mornings together as church are an opportunity for us to practice Sabbath, to share in fellowship, to spend time together, build relationships with each other and with God. Can you find a way to practice that during the week? There is an ancient rabbinic tradition that says that if we learn to celebrate the Sabbath properly and fully, even once, Messiah will come. Jesus will come. And that is a promise from God. So think about this. When we worship together, fellowship together, pray together or for each other, even at home, are we not bringing our Messiah, Jesus, into our own lives, into our church, into our world? When we offer hospitality and kindness out in the community, when we serve others before ourselves, are we not bringing our Messiah, Jesus, into our own lives, into our church, into our world? Is this not the Sabbath keeping that we're talking about? Is this not God's kingdom on earth working through us? Question to take home with us: what is one way that First Christian Church can celebrate and offer Sabbath, God's kingdom, the presence of Christ to this neighborhood around us and this wider community? Let us pray. We thank you, O God, for the gifts of creation, of love, of community, of sharing and growing, creating with you, worshiping together, celebrating your goodness, giving back. So many ways that we can live in right relationship with you as individuals and as a church. Oh God, thank you for inviting us to be here. Thank you for inviting us to break bread together. We look forward to that in just a moment in the presence of your Son Jesus, whom we pray as well. Amen.